Well, it's been a great day so far, and let's grab, you have your Bibles with you? That was not overwhelming, but that's okay. They're on your phone, too, and so we live in a new age, and so if you want to grab your phone or grab your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts, and I want to kind of just review with you. Last week, we're going to be Acts chapter 17, verse 22. just want to give you a glimpse, so we're looking at Paul again this week. And I know that last week we looked at Paul, and if you weren't here, I want to give you one glimpse into something significant, and we're going to look at a similar thing at the end of today's message. But last week, due to, I believe, Paul's indebtedness to Christ, his humility, his teachable spirit, his heart, he always remained focused, right? Always remained focused on the things of God. Did not let stuff get in the way. And interestingly enough, at the end, I feel like it was a tremendous scene, one that we don't often visualize. But in the depths of a prison, the most physically dark places in that day, where you would have had to have multiple light bearers come to light the area he was in, he began to pray and sing praises. And the entire prison was transformed. Not only was the prison transformed, but it went beyond that. It went on to the soldiers and then their families. And so, today, we're going to look at a different group of people. Because obviously, Paul was on the move. He went everywhere to all people. It didn't really matter who you were or where you came from. He just spoke the word of God and had a way of addressing. Most of the time, he'd begin the synagogue, even though that's not where a lot of the transformation came through his ministry, but he always started there, and much of the scripture will say, well, he spent 3 days in the synagogue, then he got to the people, and today we're going to look at a specific time where he went to a specific people and spoke to a people that would probably consider themselves pretty wise, right? And they are people that spent their days thinking. Imagine if that was your job. Your employer said, all I want you to do is think. Wouldn't you like that? You'd say, look, give me a chair and a TV and a book, and I'll think all you want. You know what I'm saying? But most jobs don't say that. But their jobs in that day, they kind of gave up everything, and they thought and thought and thought and then shared their thoughts with others, right? And this was kind of, and this is a dumbed down version of them, but I'm just saying, like, it kind of is what they did, okay? If we were to translate it today, most of your employers would say, that's great, think and work. Do you know what I mean? Do the two together, okay? And so that's where we're led, but a very different crowd this week, and I want you to understand the very different response. And I also want you to know that this week is very similar to us. Now, the crowd last week, if you've been in prison or been in a situation like that, that would very well relate to you. This week would relate to you a little bit more. And the end is different. And there's a battle in why the end is different. Y'all ready for it? All right, let's stand for the reading of God's powerful word. Now listen, I ain't going to get all the words right, even though I've been listening to them all week. So I can just promise you that you know better than me, okay? Starting in verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, can you all say it? Yeah, the scholar said, I didn't hear that like full out, like let's just say it. Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious, meaning Paul had seen something. Get the picture in your mind. He was an observer. So as he got to this place, he was looking at what they were doing, looking at what they were worshiping, looking at the way they were functioning so that he would come to them with some understanding of them. Makes sense, right? He didn't just come as an outsider in. He said, hey, I want to relate to you. I've seen what you've done. I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim. He used it as an in. He observed and he used it as an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Now think about it. It had to blow these men's mind because their job was to think about all these very things, which most of them would obviously say, this man is senseless. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us. Isn't that a beautiful reminder? And he says one of the most powerful statements that Paul ever says, in him, and this is where we really get off track, in him, because we want it to be a variety of things, but in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, obviously, right? But others said, we will hear you again about this. So here's the deal. I want you to hold on to this till the end. So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were, and the names are listed. God, today, God, would you help us? Would you send your Spirit to help us? God, each of us need help. And I believe today that this crowd relates very much to us because we are blessed to be living in a day and a nation where minds and knowledge and schooling and education are important. But they can also make it really hard in our faith journey. And so today, come push through, push past, and help us to understand, hopefully, how willfully indebted we should be to you. We love you. Keep the enemy from us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I just want to give you some knowledge for a second here. I'm going to set you up with two things before we really get into the points. And the first thing is, when you translate it, Paul did something pretty significant. And I like this because he observed so that he could speak to. It's something I think it's very good. When you're working with an audience, you should be able to understand them well so you can speak into them. And all through this time of ministering to these individuals, he understood them prior to encountering them. Sometimes we like to just encounter, speak into, and hope it works without really taking time to observe, know, and it's just different. And so what did he do? Well, he did not use the language earth. That's significant for a lot of reasons. It translates as he said, the cosmos. Don't you like that word? That means like everything, okay? It isn't just the earth. It isn't just what you can see. It's everything. And so Paul went beyond knowing that these men were thinkers and they were thinking about the what? They were thinking about galaxies. Think about the people and who were produced out of these people, right? They were thinkers. They were people that we still look to, that we still read about, that we still think on their thoughts. And so Paul said, let me relate to you and say, I serve the God of the cosmos. I serve the God that transcends. I serve an incredible God that you are trying to seek. God cannot be confined or defined by any space that we as humans set up and attempt to control. He was basically saying, you're trying to set God into the confounds that you've created. If you know their society well, they were creating structures for their gods to reside in. And Paul was saying, our God supersedes any of that. In fact, our God doesn't do well in man-created structures. As humans set up and attempt to control, which means if you do it, God will outgrow you. So Paul was saying, if you put God in the confounds of your created imagination, or what you create out of your imagination, God will outgrow you. Church, sometimes God outgrows us. And he moves on to someone else who's willing to not be outgrown by God. Because God cannot be set in structures that have limits. We love to limit God. And Paul was saying to his audience, there is no limit to the God that I serve. And so he set that up for us. Now, just a side note, I think for us, it's a beautiful reminder, right? If we would just be a people that live to the songs that we sing, like I Surrender All, and we just surrender to him, he's got some thoughts and things well beyond us, well beyond the structures that we set up. And so I believe if we can settle into that peace, we have a lot to be indebted to. Second thing before we get into the depths of this is breath. Y'all like to breathe? Okay, so I am always struggling to breathe. I'm just being real with you. You know what I mean? I never go away from my house. And if I do, I think it's mental, some of it. Because like if I leave the house and I don't have one in my pocket, what do I start doing? Right, Rebecca, you start breathing heavy, which is all my ridiculous mind, but because I was fine when I left, you know what I mean? But then I said, oh my goodness, I forgot it, so I drive back to get it because I never go anywhere without it. You know what I'm saying? Because it does not feel good not to breathe. All right, okay, you're with me on that. He also said, God gave breath, and that's where he resides. Now, also relating to the Holy Spirit, meaning now Paul was living in the day where the Holy Spirit was residing where it willed and where it was called to. And see, that was very hard for them to understand. It's very hard for them to comprehend. I believe it's still hard for us to do that. I still think we're trying to contain the Holy Spirit in the man-made structures. And so here, Paul said, he resides in the very fact that he's given you breath and the ability to breathe. And so, again, it's a blessing, right? It's a blessing to have the ability to breathe. I really believe, this is a total side note, are you ready for this? Okay. And many of you would stand with me because I talk about our asthmatic selves, okay, with each other. But I believe if I lived in this day, I'd be long gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have done take my last breath because I wouldn't have had an inhaler and all that natural stuff. I've tried it. It doesn't work. So I would have been done with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Okay. That's a side note, but all right, let's get into this. Couple of things here that are significant. And we're heading into a season of Thanksgiving, a season of reflection, a season of saying, okay, God, like above anything else, we have to be thankful. We have to remain humbled, teachable, in a sense, kind of below God. So remaining indebted requires us to seek and see. Now, he was speaking to an audience that was seeking what? Knowledge. They were seeking answers. Obviously, in that day, they had lots of answers about even the world itself that weren't answered. I believe if we were honest with ourselves today, we still have a lot of things that in our mind we don't understand, that we struggle with, that we're seeking answers for. There are conditions in our heart. There are situations, there's stuff. If we were just honest, we would say we're still a people that is seeking. But here, Paul was saying, hey, your seeking is good. You're just kind of seeking the wrong things. You're looking in the wrong places. How many times have you looked in the wrong place for something that wasn't there to begin with? I think our world is seeking and looking to find things. And they're looking, this is terrible, it's so basic, in all the wrong places. There's a country song for that, but I won't sing it today. My voice hurts, so I'm not going to do it. Significantly enough here, and I think this is like kind of simple and basic, and I was reading what John Wesley and others had to say about this, and it's significant here. Paul was saying, just look out. Look past your man-made structures. They're nice, right? They're beautiful. I mean, some of you are great woodworkers and do incredible work, but God was saying through Paul, look beyond. Look to nature. It speaks to God. This sounds corny, but something in our home that's really important is nature. We're always, so much so that now my five-year-olds say, we know God created it. I'm like, well, I'm just making sure. You know what I mean? Like everything, do you know that sunset? You know God, we know Dad. And so that's when you know you're probably pushing a little too what? Too hard, back up, they know. You know what I'm saying? But I think oftentimes there's something about nature. And so Paul was saying, look beyond what you do. Look beyond your thoughts. Look beyond what you've created. And look at what he has created. He can't be housed. And here's the reason why he can't be housed. Just look at the beauty, the water, the nature. You say, well, you didn't say the mountains. No, he said, just look beyond the man-made structures to the immense, right? The immenseness of nature. Nature suggests something about God. Something else, when you think about this, he actually says something so beautiful, and I think he's still saying it to us, and it's wrapped around seeking and seeing. He says, yet he is actually not far from each of us. See, in these thinkers' minds, he's really far. In many of your minds today, you've got situations where you say, God is really far from this. From my daughter or son's transformation, from my family's, from the churches, from my jobs. God is just a little bit out of reach. And they were thinking in a way that was almost limiting them and keeping them from reaching God. So Paul said, yet he's actually not far from each of us, for in him, we live, we move, and we have our being. Now, if y'all been around for 3.5 years, I preached on just those three words a couple of years ago, if you remember. It should be in your notes, right? In your Bible? Good. At least Dean is with me. Okay. Think about these. They're significant, and we're not going to get into the depth of those, and we've already done that. But I want you to think about something here. This represents the totality of God, meaning he gives us the ability to live, to move, and to be a part of the world that we're in, which goes back to his creative order, which he created us, okay, to live, to move, and to be. It's a beautiful thing. It's very simple. We're trying to find the purpose in life, and yet here Paul's reminding us that God's given us purpose to live, to move, to have being, and to honor the Lord, to understand his ways and his will, to get it. And here he's saying, hey, stop with all of the image or the images that you're creating, the things that you're setting up. Do you know that in your minds today, you are setting things up that technically limit you? You create things that limit you, all the way from mindsets to structures, to stuff, to thoughts. Paul was saying, why don't you relieve or release some of these things that are just some of these mindsets? Because honestly, you're acting as though he's so far from you. And church, he's not so far from us. And Paul was saying, now interestingly enough, he also addresses the image. And you'll see how this goes with seeking, but we get a little confused. And I'm going to throw you for a loop for a second. But we have to remember that we were created in the image of God. That was pre... Oh gosh, aren't you with me? We were created in the image of God. The fall came after our creation, so we were created in the image of God pre-fall. Whew, you're still not with me, but okay. Y'all are awake, right? Did the snow affect you in an adverse way? Did your defrosters not work like mine because there's rocks stuck in there that your kids? No. Okay. We get this confused because we think, and there's some kind of mystery in there, right? That we were created in his image pre-fall. Some things happened. Some realizations happened after the fall. Recognitions of our state, of our body, of all of that. And so there's a little bit in there we have to remember and keep in mind. But he was saying that he's not that far off. He's not that far gone. It is impossible for us to express the reality of the divine from our limited human perspective, especially when we stop seeking. Paul was saying, listen, if he gave you the ability to live, to move, and to have being, then you should always be seeking him outside of your constructed stuff. And if you keep doing that, you should hopefully find more and more of him. But interestingly enough, he said a couple of things that were key. He said, in my interpretation, is that okay? If you stop seeking, you'll stop seeing. When you stop seeking Christ, you will stop seeing Christ. And you know what creeps in? You. You without Christ. And you know what? Some of us, we sit next to some people that know you without Christ. And their eyes just rolled in their head, just not out front. You know what I'm saying? Like, they thought to themselves, the you without Christ is an eye roll. Y'all still not awake? I'm pretty sure Paul was looking at them and not rolling his eyes, but saying, y'all, you sitting around thinking he's given you the ability to live, to move, and to be in line with Christ. But it's going to take, as the scripture says here, all, and meaning it takes everything. It takes all that you have, meaning you have to live in your being, sold out for Christ. In every step you make, you should be moving into the steps of Christ. In your being, you should have a hunger to just be like Christ. Not try to be like, but just be, release, stand with, embrace. But I think it's difficult. And I think if we were honest with ourselves, we have a hard time because we sometimes always feel like he's just a little too much out of reach. Right? Is that okay? And you know what? Sometimes he is, and sometimes it's on purpose. Sometimes he can't give us the full revelation. Now we go back to pre-fall. There were things that he was protecting us from. And there are still things today that he's protecting us from that we have to live comfortably, right? Sometimes in just a little bit of distance so that he can be God and we can be his people. My kids don't know everything about me. And they probably never will. Because there's just certain things I don't think is important for them to know. There's certain things about my family that they'll just never know. Because it's just not important or edifying for them. And what value does it give or bring to their life? I think sometimes the Lord's protecting us. And Paul was saying, why don't you give your minds a break? And know that sometimes he's over here guiding you in that direction, but saying, hey, you don't need to know the whole. Relax and know that if you seek me, you'll find what I'm willing to give you, which is just enough and oftentimes more than what we need. And so I think if we live in that kind of peace, we should be indebted that God is protecting us at times. if you look in the scripture here, when we remain indebted, and when you translate this truly in 22, 23, 24, talking about their objects of worship, and when you translate it, it's talking about service. And so to them, worship was a service. Y'all ever get something serviced? Probably, right? If you even live anywhere, okay? Something goes wrong. You know what I'm saying? You have to have something brought in to fix that, and they service it, okay? Sometimes it's us, right? We go to the hospital, and the doctor services us. Probably not you, but anyway. Remaining indebted, but interestingly enough here, serve translates as this word, which is T-H-E-R-A-P-E-U, and in the Greco-Roman society, it was kind of like worship. Worship. Meaning they were like, hey, if you had a really good thought, well, gosh, you're amazing. If they created an idol that they thought would bring answers, they began to worship it. And then, well, where does service come in? They began to service those idols. Think about ancient Greek. Think about the pictures that you've seen. Some of you have been to these places, right? I don't know, is Beth here? She was just there recently. And the pictures that she showed me of these houses and these places that housed these incredible man-made things. Now, where do you go with this? Well, Paul was saying, our God first seeks our worship. And as you worship created beings, as you worship each other, I would challenge you today that there's something bigger to worship. God gives and creates, and it is irreversible. So, hey, y'all, what he gives, it's not like what you're worshiping, but boy, is it incredible. And fulfilling, and peaceful, and beautiful, and it way far exceeds what you're looking at. God allows us to seek him through worship. It's why most churches would say worship is key. This time when we come together is key. It's a time when we take all of our thoughts, we put them aside, and as a group, we ask the Spirit of God to come and move, to change and transform, to show us a little bit more of himself, to draw us into his presence. You ever play hide and seek? Yes, there we go. Caleb, you're with me. I think probably at some point, I don't care your age, hide and seek's been around for a long time, right? Now, my kids like to play hide and seek in the dark, which I let them, but do you know what that ends with? Someone always gets hurt. Every time, no fail. My wife says, why are you turning the lights off? I'm like, they really want to play in the dark. She's like, but you know how it ends. I'm like, but they love it so much. And once they get hurt, then we'll turn the lights on and hopefully it's not too bad. You know what I'm saying? But oftentimes it's a lip or any, you know, stuff like that. And I don't even know how. One time they're playing hide and seek and we turned the lights on and my daughter got hot, put ice in her lips while her lips were, and then she pulled it off and was bleeding. I'm like, how does this happen? Like, we're playing hide and seek. Like, what were you doing? But anyway, it's usually something awful, but this is different. He was saying, I want you to understand this, and there's a reason that we play hide and seek. It's to find something, right? And to be that kind of conqueror, to be the one that says, I found him first, or maybe it's tag, okay? And you're the person that gets the person, that's it, and it's like this great feeling that all of a sudden you become it. This is what they were doing. You had a really good thought. Wow, you shared that. They were trying to seek the greatest thoughts, the greatest things, the greatest revelations. And he was saying, you're going to stay in the dark if you don't come with me. If you don't seek the Lord. Paul said, God is available to you. He's ready for you. Even you as thinkers, he's ready. He's there. And so, and I want you to think about this, and I kind of already said this, but he exists outside of your knowledge. That's not inspired and in line with the Spirit of God. Because see, what Paul did was throughout this, if you really study it, he said a couple of times, hey, thanks for, hey, we appreciate, hey, I get what you're trying. He related to them, but he bottom line said, you're missing the resurrection. And then not only are you missing the resurrection, but you're missing the Holy Spirit. You're missing the life. Everything that you are seeking, everything that you're celebrating, everything that you're holding on to lacks one thing, and that is the unknown God. Now, if you remember, he said, I appreciate that you have that statement there, which meant they left room for what? For something else. They left room for what their minds couldn't handle. And so, he basically said, you are living in ignorance. Y'all ever been ignorant about something? Whew, I'm telling you. We used to watch Jeopardy with her parents and stuff, and we'd sit there, and like for some reason, her dad and my wife would be able to answer just about all of them, and it would become a what? A competition. And then my poor mother-in-law, every once in a while, would get one. I wouldn't get any, so I never really tried. I'd be like, and I would say it like as they're saying it, so it sounded like, you know what I mean, like I had it, but I was like watching their mouths, you know what I mean? And so I got good at that. But there's something about, you know, when we remove ignorance and we put something else in the place there, here's what's great. And I'm just telling you the God's honest truth is that the more that I study the Word, the more that I understand it, the more that I ask God to reveal it to me, the more I feel like ignorance is removed. And in the church, we like to be like a pond that sometimes never receives some water. Because we know what we know when we knew it, and it's good enough. And Paul was saying, your thought, your theory, it's okay, but it's not all you need. And what God does is he comes in and he removes our ignorance. Do you all like when you have a revelation and all of a sudden you realize like you have that light bulb moment and it goes on? I believe if you follow the path of what we're going in today and as you seek him and he speaks, he removes another layer of ignorance. I believe even in the things that I believed 20 years ago when I was first walking with the Lord, it's longer than that now because I'm older than I think, but many, many years ago, it just feels like he begins to and continues to remove layers of what I once thought was, and now I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what it means. See, I think in the church we do a good job, and I'm trying not to do this, but your actual service is not your worship to God. You do service out of the drive that God places in your heart, out of the love that you have for him. You have a desire to serve him. But your service to God, as Paul says here, is your worship. Because, see, worship defines the placement of your heart. And then your personal worship is a gift to God, and he sees favorably or not. But it depends on where your heart is. See, as God challenges us to come away from ignorance, we oftentimes say, mm-mm. I like the thoughts that I have about. Ignorance is crippling. We oftentimes let society speak truth, and then we say that truth is okay. Can I tell you what I'm so mad at right now? And y'all can like me or not, okay? But Walmart just kicked off their commercials for the Christmas season. This bothers me. It should bother you too. And I don't know if you've seen it, but they go through a family celebrating Hanukkah, a family celebrating Kwanzaa, and then a family celebrating with Santa Claus, but never was there mention or a picture of Jesus in the manger. Now, many of you say, well, it wasn't during that season, and yet it is a time we've established, let's just get over that argument, it's a time we've established to honor the birth of the Lord and Savior that came from the cosmos to come and be with us, and we skip over that, but we remember everyone else. And you know why? Because it's the only religion that's living. It's the only religion that actually has power. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but I just believe completely and wholly in Jesus Christ. And Paul was saying, you can ignore and you can say that society has the answers. You can say that your mind is equipped. You can say that, but I tell you today that if you'll believe and if you'll follow me, ignorance will leave you. And it'll continue to leave you. And before you know it, you will wonder why you didn't do it sooner. Because ignorance is crippling. And Paul said, you all are crippled. You aren't getting it. Interestingly enough, we often create structures that house our ignorance. Well, what do you mean? Well, they built these structures and put these gods in them, and they put them in there. And then they created confounds and abilities that God would have. Because sometimes we like that, because then we're defining God. God doesn't want us defining him. He wants us receiving him. The structures are never built to remove our ignorance, rather to maintain our ignorance. And those structures can be mindsets, homes, traditions, rituals. I don't know. They're different for each of us. For them, it was their own minds, and it was physical buildings. Sometimes we get a little wrapped up in physical buildings. But he said, I have a word for all people everywhere. Okay. I want to skip ahead. The final scene. Oh, we have more time than I thought. Okay, the final scene. And I want you to think about the final scene. I already set that up for you last time. Everybody was in darkness. The jail was dark. It was midnight. Everyone came to know Christ. Now, there's a lot of theology behind this, and you could have fun studying the responses of all the different audiences of Paul. There's lots of books out there to do that. I could give you a couple, okay? And they talk about the response of the people after the words that he brought. Now, I just want to look at this for a second. So you've got people in prison. Probably some of them would have been what? Christians, okay? We forget that. They were being jailed constantly during this season, and so some of them probably would have been Christians, believers, followers of the Messiah, probably at that time called followers of the Messiah. But most likely, the good portion were not. They were people that made decisions that just got them at a place where society said, all we can do is lock you up and leave you there in the darkness. Paul prayed, and he praised, and Silas, and the whole place was transformed. We get to this scene with a different kind of people. The Areopagus, or however you say it. And they were what? They were wise. They were thinkers. If you understand this kind of people, they actually got to do this. You know why? Because other people said, we'll supply for your needs while you think, so that we can become a wiser society. And so, these people were given the ability to sit around and think, to use their knowledge, to be wise. And there's something that happens that's different. The last scripture tells us, all and everyone. This scripture tells us, if you've got your Bibles, but some men joined him. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were this gentleman who came from one of the thinkers, a woman, and some others. Okay. So if you've ever studied the response of the people after hearing Paul, everyone, some. Your minds, your ability to think, your education, it sometimes gets in the way. I'm just telling you, two different crowds. I don't know how else to say it. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know the makeup of the people in the jail. I don't. But if you got in that jail, you had to have done something. And so let's take out the small percent of those that were probably convicted due to corruption, and let's just look at the majority. And they all said, we heard your prayers and your praise, and we're going to... You know what they didn't hear? They didn't hear the gospel message. They didn't hear reciting of the Old Testament. They didn't hear scriptures. They heard a heart, and then another heart, and then another heart, then another heart. Here, they heard their thoughts against the gospel, their minds against the gospel. If you divide it up, you'll see three times here where he kind of uses and then uses and then uses and then uses and then uses and uses. And only a few left changed for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which meant they remained indebted to their minds, to their thoughts, to their society, to limitations, to barriers, to buildings, to actual places of worship. And a couple of people, let's say a few, because others, they left in freedom, in wholeness, indebted to Christ, because the layers of ignorance were removed, and their hearts were exposed, and their hearts were transformed. In church, we live in a day where we can better relate to this than we can to last week. Because too often our minds, our thoughts, our theories get in the way. Most conflict in the church is due to just that. And so Paul said some words like, everyone and everywhere, there's the ability to receive Christ. And so, if you're really living a life that is genuinely indebted to Christ, you should be described in three ways: as a seeker, hoping to see every day, as a server who's worshiping constantly, who lives as a being of worship, and who's daily having ignorance that the enemy's put being removed. That's a people who are truly indebted to Christ. And so as you enter into the season of Thanksgiving, are you entering into it just indebted to Christ? My wife's not here, so I can say this. She was discouraged last night for a reason. And then this morning I'm subscribed to all these articles, Christian stuff, and it was about discouragement. And so I sent it on her, and she's like, you're messing with me. I'm like, no, I literally got the email today. But see, when we're seeking him, he has a way of immediately pushing away. The altars are open. And I guess the question today is, if you're not living an indebted life to Christ, then what's missing? Are you not seeking him? being okay with sometimes not knowing everything. Maybe you're just not a person that is living in a state of worship. And you want to be that person that just lives in utter just praise to God. And maybe today you're a person that just says, you know what? My thoughts, my theories, my ways are getting in the way. And I want that ignorance removed. So why don't you bow your heads? The altars are open. Seek him. Seek him.
The more I find you, and the more I find you, the more I love you, 'cause I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat, Jesus, 'cause this love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I seek you, the more I find you, and the more I find you, the more I love. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat, 'cause this love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's so than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
God, I believe those words. You are overwhelming at times, especially when you just wash over and we just sense and see and hear. It's overwhelming. Let us in this season of Thanksgiving be a people so grateful, so thankful, and indebted to you for what Paul says is giving us the ability to live, move, and be. And so today we just give you praise and honor and glory. Help us to seek you in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us today in worship. We have a lot of great Sunday school teachers. I'd encourage you to go and hear from them as they open the Word of God. And so go, be blessed, enjoy the remainder of your day.
All your promises are yes and yes.